Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are off of a pretty heartbreaking loss off of Christmas week. So Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. I hope you all still manage to enjoy your Christmas despite that embarrassing loss we just had against the Raiders in Arrowhead at home. Not a lot of fun, but we are still here. We're still going to love our Chiefs. We're still going to go through this podcast with you guys and hopes for some better weeks ahead. So I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Chrissy.
I'm Jody, and I'm already drinking. Hi, everybody.
Cheers to that.
Like, already just,
my this was the weekend I wish I drank on. Let's just say
like,
that.
Okay, I'm drinking a can, so it's okay. I just was like, you know what? Let's go ahead and crack open a can. I have it in a few weeks, so here we are. Anyway.
Say real quick, I made a cute cocktail with Kin Seltzer with like cranberry, pomegranate, rosemary, sprig. Like we're cruising over here.
Looks so delicious.
It's giving Christmas.
But it's so Kin Seltzer Christmas.
We're switching up KQ today, guys. We're just going to go ahead and dive right into the nonsense of what happened last week. This week, God bless. Where are we at?
Tuesday. Yeah. Yesterday.
Yesterday. Oh my God. That was only yesterday.
It was only yesterday.
That was yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Oh my God.
Just what the Chiefs did to our sanity.
Just to say, I did wake up this morning incredibly depressed. I went and got a pedicure. I went to Bath and Body Works, did the semi-annual sale. I was like, you know what? I deserve self-care today.
I went to work.
It's okay though.
Hashtag
you self-care. You got a fun vacation coming up.
Right. Yeah. You got a
next fun week self-care.
Fun vacation. Yeah.
Yes. So I know that we want to talk about last week, but I also randomly just had like 15 questions that I wanted to ask y'all too. So we can either start off by talking about last week or we can just jump into the very first question that I asked y'all earlier. Because why not? Let's just
do it.
Start the show off with a bang.
Okay, let's do it.
Do it.
So was the number one pick in this draft going after FAU, was that a waste this season? Now, FAU, we have not seen a lot of him just because we are so deep at that position this year, right? And everybody who's been in it has been playing fantastic, and they have been lights out. So we haven't really seen a lot of production from FAU because we really haven't needed to. Right. And we know that he's the hometown kid. He went to K-State. He's from Lee Summit. And why would you not take him? Right. Because, yeah, maybe we didn't know what this defense was going to be before the season started. So beefing up the defense, I'm never going to be upset with that. But we also knew what our needs were going into this season. Right. We knew we needed a wide receiver. We knew we needed to add another tight end onto this roster. What do you guys think about how we went after the first round draft pick?
Well, the thing about the first round is I know it's been confirmed that Veach did try to move up and nobody would trade picks with him. So I do feel like he was probably trying to move up for a wide receiver. So honestly, like, were there probably better players to get at pick 32? Yeah, there probably. Well, there was only 31 this draft, right?
31.
Somebody, yeah. So While I don't think he was probably the best player available, I understand why they felt the need to draft him. And then we got Rashi Rice in the second round. So it's not like we didn't get a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like, not draft related, but I do feel like we missed the market on veteran wide receivers in the offseason. But I don't think he was necessarily a wasted pick, but there was probably better choices out there. Yeah. But with maybe not having Chris Jones, probably next season. No, maybe Felix will come in and he'll play a bigger role then. So, well, yeah. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell just because he hasn't had a lot of snaps. We don't really know what he can do yet.
I think the thing is, like, with last season, we needed our first-round picks to absolutely be difference makers with Tremaine Duffy and George Karloftis. Yeah. Right? So this season with FAU, it's like, yeah, we did need him. Yeah. But he's not having to play as big of a role as maybe we would like, I guess, which is kind of a good problem to have because we do have that depth at D-line, and I don't really worry about our D-line too much. But like you said, if there was like, I think there were some wide receivers and some tight ends that went later on.
Yeah.
Like, if, I mean, God forbid you look back at it, I would have taken Puka Nacua.
In a heartbeat.
But we didn't know that at the time. Like, nobody had that big of value, you know? So, like, if we would have taken a guy like Puka Nacua, we would have been like, are you insane? But then if he had that same kind of production, it would be so good. So it's kind of hard to look back at some drafts and be like, how you evaluate them. I do think a lot of the analysts did say that we did take FAU too high. I think he's more of a second or third round kind of guy. And
I agree.
Totally fine. Definitely. Or even, like, even fourth round kind of. But
I would have been okay with going after him in the second or the third round. Like, if we can go and get Laporta, God, can you imagine? Right. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things to take away from this, right? If you look at how the Chiefs have six losses right now, this is the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era we've ever had six losses under him. So for 7 years, this is the first time we've ever kind of been in this situation, right? And when you look at the six losses that we have, four of them were solely based off of our receivers. Four of our losses were based solely on wide receivers. So that's why I asked the question of, did we really miss it in the first round? Could we have went after a tight end? We knew last year's draft was heavy wide receiver, heavy tight end, and we did not do anything to adjust or add to. And yes, Veach is very cheap. Yes, we know that. But that doesn't mean that we couldn't have made that adjustment and literally just adding one more receiver or a tight end. I think we really missed the mark not getting a tight end last year.
I do too, because that tight end class was so deep. But
it was so good. Yeah.
I want to add on a little bit to the Veach being cheap thing. He can be very cheap. But then he has moments where he spends, and I think a very
like Juwan Taylor.
That's what
way
I was
saying. Overspent.
Yeah, it was way.
And now we're stuck.
And yeah, I think in the off season, none of us really saw a problem with it. It's like, okay, we're getting
He was signed as our left tackle. That's why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Correct. Now we're seeing we didn't need him as left tackle, and it's a way huge overspend at right tackle. So I don't know. I do think Juwan Taylor will be on our team next season, but I think that he is going to do some major contract adjusting, and I think Juwan will have to go along with it because
he's going to have to.
He is not
what's his cap hit this year, $40 million this year or $40 million next year or something.
Let me look it up.
It's something like incredibly absurd and outrageous. So while we're talking about the offensive line, let's kind of talk about the offensive line from this past yesterday. Like. I can't believe I was just traumatized less than 24 hours.
It's a short week and we can get over
this. We're in denial. It's the
like this had to be like last week, right? No. So the offensive line was really bad this week. Last week.
Patrick should take his presence back.
Okay. Real quick. Looking up the Juwan Taylor cap hit. This season, it was only $5.8 million. Next season and 2025 season. It's 24.7.
Yeah, that's
both seasons. So 24.7 next season, 24.7 2025. So he's got to be working there, like big time.
I have words for that.
Yeah.
They're not nice ones.
But anyway.
Well, the offensive line was incredibly bad this week. Last week we talked about the left side of the line, right? We talked about how bad they were. And I don't know what happened between last week and this week to where last week it was just two players who were incredibly terrible, and this week it was all five guys against the Raiders. Now, we know that I think I said it last week, right? The Raiders are somebody who we should probably take seriously, and they clearly did not going into this game. What are you guys' thoughts about this O-line, especially after the production that they put out yesterday? And are we literally reworking this O-line again next year? We just did it this year, right? Are we doing it again next season?
I don't think it's so, yes, the O-line played terribly yesterday. Honestly, I don't know what was in the water. Our whole offense was terrible. Like, nobody played well.
No.
But every single person.
I think our O-line, I think they've been, for the most part, minus some stupid penalties from our tackles, right? They've actually still been pretty good. Yesterday, nobody was good. Even our interior was terrible. And normally we can say, hey, we've got the best interior O-line or one of the best interior O-lines in the whole NFL. But, like, I also don't know if them playing, looking as bad as they did, I don't know if that was all on them. And we have to remember, we have a rookie left tackle who was playing against, Max Crosby and like Coon or Coon. Coons, thank you. Both played lights out, right? And we know they're going to play lights out, but I think they definitely took advantage of that. However, I think part of the reason our O-line looks so terrible stems from our wide receivers not being able to get separation fast enough.
Right.
Patrick not being able to trust wide receivers, so he is holding on to the ball longer. Therefore, making our O-line have to block and whatnot even longer than normal.
Yeah.
So I honestly think our O-line looking that bad stems from everybody having such a bad game yesterday. Patrick is definitely holding on to the ball longer. He's not making good decisions. Our wide receivers can't get separation, and when they do, they aren't catching the ball. I'm going to say minus rushing.
They're not running their routes correctly.
Right.
Keep going, because I'm going to add on to all of this.
Yeah, I think that all of that made our O-line look 10 times worse. And I think our O-line also had a bad game. Honestly, it looked like our guys would have rather been spending Christmas with their families than doing their job.
They just
get paid millions of dollars to do. They just didn't look like they wanted to be there.
Completely disheveled, completely out of sync, unprepared, undisciplined. Yeah. Like
all of that.
It just was so, I don't know how you finally get like some momentum in a game last week against the Patriots, right? Like you finally feel like, okay, this team is showing a little bit of positivity. Like maybe we can carry that into the next week. We always tend to play the Raiders really well and like come up with some fun plays. And we did do a fun trick play up at the beginning when we had a good thing going and we were only down 3 points. And, you know, we had the Pacheco direct snap to Pacheco where he faked it to Mahomes and he ran into
what a weird place to do that too.
No. I'm talking about
not that one.
Touchdown.
The first.
I'm sorry.
The next time was very weird. I agree. But
sorry, my bad.
We can get into that. That's on the
ice. We will. But I'm saying like I love when we do stuff like that. When we're in the red zone and like you guys execute it perfectly. That's the Chiefs team we love. But just for some reason this season, it's like you cannot get consistency out of their trick plays. It's very rare. When we do it, it's like, oh, yay, that was great. Like, good job. But then when you mess it up, it's like, wow, that cost us an entire touchdown.
No, it's bigger than that. So I'm going to kind of add on to what Chrissy was saying, right? Not only are they having these issues, the receivers, the O-line, how are you lining up and you don't know what the play is, or you don't understand what the play is, or you're looking lost, or you're looking confused, and then you're not running your routes correctly. And on top of all of this, you then have the nerves to drop the ball, fumble the ball, tip the ball so the other team can get the ball. Like, I don't understand how we are at week 15 and you still don't understand what is happening at the line. If I know Patrick Mahomes, I know that he is one of the loudest cussing, grunting persons on the field. So there's no way you're not understanding what he's saying or being that confused.
There's so many times you see him like, no, you're supposed to be that way. Or someone like, no, you're supposed to be out there. And like they're having to direct people on the line after the huddle is broken.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like it is. And then the next thing about that is most of these guys played on this team last year.
Right.
So why are you – the playbook has not changed that much from literally last season.
You want to ask your next question, Jody? Because I know what you want to ask.
That's a great segue into it.
You had a question just like that.
I think I'm gonna ask, and it might be the wrong question, so you might have to pivot.
Okay.
Is this coaching? Was that the question?
I thought that was a good segue into that. Yeah.
Is this coaching? If our players are not knowing how to line up, our players are not knowing what the play is, there's so much confusion.
Yeah, you whose fault is that? How does that change from last year to this year with the same guys, pretty much?
Whose fault is that? How does that change from last year to this year with the same guys?
Here's my thing with that. And I know after the game we were texting a little bit. And to me, when a majority of the problem stems from the wide receivers – and just the offense in general, you have to look at the two coaches solely responsible for that, which is Matt Nagy and Embry, the wide receiver. Is it Connor Embry? I don't even know his first name because I don't care.
Connor,
Okay. Connor. So, and I know Andy Reid is in charge of calling the plays, and he's like a mastermind and all of that. However, Matt Nagy is responsible for the fine details and making sure the offense knows what it's supposed to be doing. Connor Embry is in charge of making sure our wide receivers know how to be wide receivers, which they're in the NFL. They should know how to do that anyway. So I look at these guys and like, it seems like they've all regressed. And I don't even want to say this, but including Kelce. And I know Kelce is getting older, but he's dropping the ball.
What did I just ask y'all before we went live? Like 15 minutes before we went live about Travis Kelce.
I don't know if I was signed in yet.
No. It was text message.
You said, has he only had five touchdowns?
I said, has Travis Kelce really only had five touchdowns this
season? Yeah.
Like, I needed y'all to go look that stat up for me. He only has five touchdowns this whole entire season.
Yeah.
And last year he had 12 total.
Yeah.
How many games have we lost by less than 7 points this year?
Like, yeah.
Every single one. Except one, the Packers.
Five. Right? Yeah,
no, the Denver game, we didn't lose. We lost badly to Denver.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think about that. I've tried to block that from my memory.
I tried to block out of my memory.
Yeah, but I mean, and guys, like, I know Travis is getting double and triple teamed. He's getting poked. He's getting held. He's getting pushed. Like, he's getting beat up every single game. Plus, he's been unhealthy literally since training camp when he messed up his knee, right?
Yeah.
So, but I just feel like, I know I'm a coach of young athletes. Like, I'm not an NFL coach. I coach soccer. It's totally different. They're young athletes. But if my girls and my boys don't know what they're doing, it is my responsibility to make sure they know what to do. It is my responsibility. The whole, like she's saying, the whole team has issues. And I don't even want to really get into our defense, because our defense, guys, they're doing the best they can with what the offense is putting out there. Our offense has given up more points than our defense has allowed. Like, honestly, those coaches responsible for the offense have got to get these guys down and have a come to Jesus meeting, because good Lord, those coaches are responsible for the product that gets put on the field. That's why they're NFL coaches.
I think one of the most disappointing things from this week in particular had to be, which someone just mentioned a little bit ago, Sapphire mentioned it, MVS on the field. He had the same amount of snaps as Travis Kelce this week. Why are we going back to MVS that constantly on the field as our number one wide receiver?
But he's not being thrown to. He's just out there running.
Wide open.
All cardio.
You saw the one time Mahomes tried to throw to him.
He didn't even
put an effort to get it. He was like, bummer.
Yeah, that's when he stopped running. And didn't that result in an almost interception?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Like, we're lucky the guy dropped it.
He dropped it, yeah. But, like, he, like, literally puts in one arm and he's like, oh, bummer, didn't catch it. I don't understand what happened. This is my biggest question maybe for you guys. What happened with MVS from last year to this year? Was it just, like, he's won Super Bowl and done? Like, he was so happy he won that Super Bowl?
There's a lot of things that I feel.
I don't get it.
I'm going to go back a second. I definitely think coaching is an issue. It should be coming from everywhere. It should be coming from Andy. It should be coming from Nagy. It should be coming from the receivers coach. It should be coming from everybody, right? One. Two, the receivers aren't even holding themselves accountable. Like, what?
Yeah.
So you're not even seeing dudes on the sideline. If they have a drop pass, you don't see them. It's all right, bro. You got the next one. If somebody does something great on the sideline, are y'all seeing them celebrate? You're seeing nothing. The whole team looks deflated. They don't look encouraged. They have no motivation.
And I mean, when was the last time you saw Kelce throw a helmet?
Literally, literally, right? Actually, not only did Kelsey throw a helmet, Andy was like,
one last year.
And he said, you're not getting this back.
He did throw one last year.
He did throw
in the Titans game. He did throw one last year.
Oh, the 27-3 Titans game?
Yeah. Was that last year? No. Actually, the one where we went to overtime with them last season.
Oh, that one. Okay.
But yeah.
We all run together at this point.
I know.
This game, I feel like you saw so much emotion. You saw so much frustration. I don't think I've ever seen frustration from Pat, Andy, and Travis in all one like game. All at the exact same time when they were technically still in the game. The game never got out of reach. It never got out of reach.
It was in reach until the final minute.
It felt like we were down by 30 points.
2 minutes and 42 seconds.
And can I, when you say 2 minutes and 40 seconds, can I address why when there was like three minutes and like something left before we got our last touchdown? Yeah. And we were in the huddle. We were taking our sweet time when we knew we needed two scores.
10 seconds ran off the clock.
It was so much time that we were wasting. And then the guy still looked confused as they were coming out of the huddle. Like,
And that's what I was just getting ready to ask you. Do you think it's because they had no clue what the hell was happening?
Yeah.
But why?
No one had any clue what was happening.
But these dudes are the same dudes who were literally on
exactly.
Okay, so
that's where it doesn't make sense.
I genuinely believe it does come down to coaching. And I want to say, and I have not been on the fire Nagy train all season.
I haven't either.
But I genuinely think we are missing Eric Bieniemy, and he's also missing us. I think Eric Bieniemy is missing us as much as we miss him. And I hope there is a way in heaven that we can find a way to bring him back to our team next year.
I don't know. Okay, so
I'm on that train right now. I really am.
I was listening to something earlier. And yes, they actually spoke about EB too, right? They were like, you know, before the season started, they were like, EB could not possibly be that big of a difference maker with guys who played on this same team last year, right? But then you're looking at it and it's like, this is sick. Like, there's no way EB was that big of a difference maker, because if he was, all that shows me is Matt Nagy didn't do a damn thing last year either. If you got promoted from the quarterback coach to the offensive coordinator, and EB had everybody in check and in line, what it feels like is EB was in the quarterback room, the receiver room, the tight end room, and he was making sure everything was going on. And Nagy clearly doesn't have the guts to do that, which I don't understand why he does it. Or maybe he does, and nobody takes him seriously. But that's unfortunate, because most of these guys were on the scene. There's no way that Patrick Mahomes trusts Rashi Rice, a rookie, who wasn't even on this team last year, who didn't even play like at a big team.
Half the season.
He played at SMU, shout out to Dallas, Texas. And he trusts him more than he trusts any other receiver on this team who was here last year. What in the world?
Yeah, to me, like, I look at, so I don't know why. I feel like the energy that you saw EB, and sometimes, yeah, he pissed players off. And you saw that come, like, when he went to Washington, and they're like, he's really hard on us. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, and it's like, okay. And, like, you saw Tyreek Hill come out, and he's like, yeah, he's that way for a reason. Mm-hmm. He expects and he demands excellence. And just from the little I've witnessed, and granted, we're not in the locker room. We're not on the practice field. We don't actually see. It just feels like I've never seen – Nagy looked pissed off this whole time. I've never seen him get in a player's face and say, you need to be doing this better or something like that. He just always looks like he's the guy that goes and pats you on the back and be like, hey, it's okay. Like, next play, next rep. Yeah. At some point, next play, next rep, that isn't it anymore. You've got to demand respect. You've got to demand accountability. And that you have to make sure your players are executing it. Because if they are not, that comes down to thinking like, okay, well, I guess if I miss this catch, like, yeah, I'm going to be mad at myself, but like, what's going to change? Like, they're not going to bench me. They're still going to put me on the field. They're still going to throw me the ball. Hashtag MVS.
Yeah.
Hashtag Kadarius Toney.
But it's like, I don't understand where that mindset went with some of them. Like,
I don't know.
Last season, you know, in the AFC Championship game, MVS is like, I'm not going home without it.
They're too comfortable. That's what it is. They're too comfortable.
They think like they have it in the bag and they don't, but you would think at week 16, when things are going that bad, they would be like, we don't have this in the bag anymore.
I think EB kept them on their toes, though. I think he kept them on their toes. Like, they knew, right. Like, I can't screw this up.
Because you're not going to play. You will get benched. A rookie will take your spot.
Yeah.
Like, how many times last year did they give Sky Moore chance after chance after chance? Even though he was having a bad season, he kept giving him chance after chance and KT. And they kept putting all this confidence in them. And then them two dudes were the big playmakers in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
You don't see that anywhere on this team this year. Like, you don't see it anywhere. And I don't know, like, I think it's frustrating to see Patrick Mahomes being pissed off on the sidelines when that should be a coach.
At this point, yeah, I agree.
He's the only one.
And he's the only one. I mean, granted, Andy taking the helmet back and, like, bumping into Travis and whatnot, like, that's
I expect that. I've
seen.
Yeah.
But, like you said, like Nagy, I don't see him getting in a player's face. Like, I don't see, like, when a wide receiver drops the ball – we're seeing Patrick having to do a coach's job. And when they already didn't give him the tools he needed this season, and then he is now having to be the coach and get pissed off about mistakes that are causing problems for this entire team, that's a problem. Like, when I saw Patrick get pissed off against the refs, I was like, oh, look, there's some passion at least. Like, that's good.
Yeah.
But now it's happening every single game. He was mad and he was pissed off about Tony's tip for the interception.
Yeah.
And then he's chewing out his O-line. And I'm like, I'm glad that somebody is trying to hold him accountable, but it can't just be Patrick. And I'm sorry, but who is holding Patrick accountable?
Yeah.
And Jenna just commented this about calling him a crybaby. I actually want to comment on that and say, I completely agree. And
I do agree.
I don't agree that he's a crybaby. I agree that I love the passion from him.
Correct.
Yeah. But it should be, like you guys have said, it should be coming from the coach. And they're not going to call the coach a crybaby for putting in the passion like that. Like we saw, I think it was last week with Chris Jones and Joe Cullen on the sideline, or 2 weeks ago, where they were screaming at each other. You know, that's the passion with it. And we need to see that with Nagy and Mahomes. And Travis. And all of them, honestly.
Patrick arguing with Bienemy. Like they would be, it would be like,
oh, yeah, Andy, you would see that Patrick, on the sideline all the time.
And they would be, you know,
and I love that because you knew.
Yeah. Somebody was holding him in check.
Yeah.
He was challenging him.
And
Patrick needs to be challenged. And
we can't have Patrick being the one that's challenging everyone else.
Like, right.
He's the quarterback, not the coach.
And so I think that's where my frustration comes in with Travis Kelce.
Is Kafka missing a little bit too? Our quarterback? I mean,
yeah.
Probably.
Our quarterback coach a little bit. I mean,
yeah, but I think that's where my frustration comes in with Travis, right? I don't care that you're having a down season and you only have 500 touchdowns. I mean, 5 touchdowns,
only
less
five.
Than 1,000
yards.
Right. Only 5, right? But Travis, even though you're having a bad season, you are a veteran. And everybody has said this over and over and over, week after week after week after week. And I have been trying to avoid this conversation forever because I refuse to think this way. But Travis is one, I don't want to say he's 1 foot in, 1 foot out, but it feels like after so many losses, because Travis has not lost in a really long time either. This is new for him too, right? He's been here for so long and he's dealt with nothing but winning seasons for the last 7 years. So this is all new and a culture shock to him too. But what is he doing to also motivate and encourage this team? They know there's not a damn leader in the receiving room. Y'all don't see a leader. Y'all have not seen a leader all season long. So why is Travis not stepping up and also putting some of that accountability in there? Yes, he put his arm around KT last week and was like, don't worry about it. It's all good. Da, da, da. But how are you coaching these dudes up? You're the best tight end in the NFL. What are you doing to make these dudes better, especially when you see they're struggling with route running? And he's one of the best to do it.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say something about that is our offense is making it incredibly easy to game plan against them, because since our wide receivers are not running correct routes and since they can't catch the ball, we are not taking shots downfield, which means, and you saw it, you keep seeing it, the corners and the safeties and the linebackers and whomever are out there and they are cutting our routes and they are intercepting the ball or causing issues. They're jumping our routes because they only have to guard the middle of the field now.
Yeah, and Patrick is pretty much staring down these receivers at the same time.
It's like the opposite problem that we used to have. We were always trying to throw downfield. So they're like, okay, two high safeties, right? Well, now they're guarding the middle of the field because we can't make a play down the field, except for the one Richie James one, and that was only, I think, 18 yards maybe. Or maybe it was Justin Watson. I don't know who it was. I can't remember. But the thing is, when they're guarding the middle of the field, because they don't have to guard back, it makes it incredibly hard to do anything on offense because they are literally taking our whole offense away because we can't throw the ball down the field.
Right. So Patrick threw the ball 44 times yesterday, and 18 of those times was either at or behind the line of scrimmage. That is more than 40%.
That made me so angry.
That is awful.
That is really
awful. For me to tweet during a game, you guys, like, I don't tend to tweet during a game, but man, the last time they threw that ball to Pacheco 5 to 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Please stop. It's obviously not working. Please
turn the TV off. Please. Yeah. Like, I couldn't even flip to another game.
Yeah, right. I wanted to add really quick to that conversation of like learning from vets. Like, I want to say, like, I think Travis has been good to the tight end room, but we don't really
have absolutely
tight ends. All two of them. So
I Matt Bushman brought up.
It was big for me to hear Rashee Rice say, I think it was a week or two ago, I heard him say he's learning from Richie James. He didn't really mention MVS. MVS is getting paid $11 million. Travis is being paid $15 million, right? MVS is our highest paid wide receiver, and he's not learning from him. He's learning from Richie James, the guy that came from the Giants last season.
We clearly know
our offense better than MVS does.
MVS played in denial about 3 weeks ago, I fully checked out on him. Him having 61% of the snaps yesterday is ridiculous. I don't know if that is because now.
Yeah, he did. Travis has been good too.
But we're also not healthy right now, right? So we still have Mecole out. We got Jet out. Well, I guess just them two. Mecole and Jet. That's it? Jet and Jet?
Sky.
Are those the only two
and
out?
Tony. Sky and Tony are
KT, who I don't want to see. And Sky Moore is on the IR. Cool, right? So out of the seven, out of the seven receivers, we're missing three. And out of the three running backs, we're missing, technically one and a half after yesterday now, right? So I personally, and I think we kind of talked about this on the pod too, we all spoke about how, you know what, let's not rush Pacheco back. Let's let him get healthy. If we got to save him to the playoffs, that's totally fine. CEH is having a great back half of the year, right?
I asked for CEH in the first quarter, and I haven't done that probably ever.
Ever in my life. And we bring Pacheco in.
He was cooking. He was cooking.
He's playing fantastic. He's running with a ferocity that we haven't seen before. And
it's because
he's
trying to get paid next year, and I am fine with it.
Throw him the ball. So he's great.
Two things about Isaiah Pacheco. One, how many times has his helmet came off this season?
He needs to tighten that thing up.
What is going on with that?
It's driving me nuts.
Again, discipline.
Because EB's not having that.
Tighten your helmet.
No.
EB's not having that. Because now what happens is he could have got a concussion earlier in the year and been out for two or three games. And then he just got a concussion now when it matters the most. And we are going into the playoffs.
And it's a short week. And he got kneed in the head. He could miss 2 weeks with this.
He could not be back until literally playoffs.
He literally takes off his helmet. He loses his helmet and holds his head laying on the ground. And I'm just fart.
He got kneed so hard. Like, seriously, that could be a 2 week.
Also, like, why is the medical staff why is the equipment staff? Why is this not being addressed before now? Like, that is an issue.
That's what I mean. No,
I don't care how much hair Isaiah Pacheco has.
From anyone.
I don't care how much hair he has on his head. The NFL has over 1,000 helmets that these players have custom fitted to their dome, their head. Yeah. There is no reason that this man's helmet continues to come off when he knows that he is one of the best players on this team. You're one of our top three players on offense. Why would you be putting yourself at a risk every single week to where you can go out and get a concussion, leaving us literally with one running back in CEH?
Because now, like, did you say McKinnon's on IR? Because McKinnon is on IR now.
Yeah, with his groin. Yeah. And he was our O-line safety net, you know?
And he always gave Chip help. Yes, exactly, right? And yeah. So now you see the difference with McKinnon not being on this team. That O-line running was horrible. I said yesterday, I tweeted out, I said, God, I hope y'all took the over on Mahomes' yards. And at this point, there was a point in the game where I said, I hope he runs for 100 yards every game at this point, because literally nobody else is doing a single
thing. Did you hear the number of yards he ran around? They said he ran for over 1,000 yards with the amount of running he was doing.
Scrambling.
That is why he looked all of that. Yeah.
And that is why he looked exhausted.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Patrick looked burnt. He looked tired. And that's another reason why you see all this frustration, right? So, I mean, there were so many things that happened in yesterday's game that was I don't think I've ever seen this Chiefs team look this bad in the Mahomes era. Now, before that, yes, right. But after, like, now,
this is
probably his worst game in his NFL career.
Absolutely.
In his NFL career. So I do want to talk about the defense really quickly, because I do think we kind of summed up how a hot mess.
How disappointed we are with this.
God bless. We talked about the offense for 35 minutes. I told y'all that's what was going to happen today.
No.
Let's talk about the defense, right? So I was listening to 610 earlier, and they were rattling off. Yeah, I was listening to Carrington. Shout out to Carrington. Rattling off, like, the top five reasons that this team, you know, like, what is happening? Why are we imploding, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, number one was it coaching? And then number one was it Brett Veach? He knew what this team was and what it looked like since training camp all the way back in July and didn't do anything to fix it, right? Number two was the coaching. He got into Nagy, Reed, all of them, right? Number three was, what did he say? The O-line, right? And then number four, he put Patrick Mahomes where he didn't really want to. But then at number five, he said the defense. And so I had not, I guess, necessarily thought this deeply about the defense, because they have been the positive light about this team the whole entire season. So it's kind of hard for me to rag on the defense. But when he said his point, I was like, God dang it. You're very right about that. So I'm going to let y'all give me your thoughts on the defense first, and then I'll tell you what my overall thoughts are after listening to that.
Okay, so our defense – I'm not obviously a hater of our defense. This is the best defense we've had in the Patrick Mahomes era and in a very long time.
Easily, yeah.
However, they have been on the field so long that sometimes at the end of the game, when we need them to make a stop, they don't have anything left.
Yes.
So like at the end of this game, like I actually tweeted, because a lot of people were hating on the defense on Twitter on yesterday. And I was just like, guys, like, these guys were exhausted. And the thing is like, we obviously know O'Connell had not thrown a pass in three, or he hadn't had a completion
in three quarters.
We obviously knew he was going to run the ball. And yet somehow White and then the other guy who was running, I can't remember his name, don't really care, he's a Raider.
Yeah.
They ran for like 50-something yards.
Yeah.
Not one drive.
I think it was 43. Well, yeah, they had the big one for like 43.
Yeah.
And then they had another like 12 yards.
They just had these big runs. And it's like, at that point, it's like, I almost sometimes wonder in situations like that, like, yes, we knew they were going to run the ball.
Yeah.
We know that's what they were. They've done it the last three quarters. Why are they going to change now? It's been working, right?
And that's the weakest point of our defense.
It is the weakest, 100%. I have a hard time getting mad at our defense for giving up that when our offense gave up 14 points in 6 seconds.
Seven seconds.
And, you know, we thought like, oh, coming back against Buffalo in 13 seconds. No, this is seven, and we gave up 14 points in 7 seconds. Like, I can't even – like, our defense gave up 6 points.
That's it.
6 points.
Yeah. And the last 3 points didn't come until literally in the fourth quarter. They had gave up only 3 points through three quarters.
And people want me to be mad about the defense. And like, yeah, our run defense is not great. But you know what? They held the Raiders to 6 points.
Right. Yeah.
So I can't be mad when our offense gave up 14 and our defense held them to six. And you're telling me our defense isn't doing enough.
And
people are saying our defense isn't doing enough. Like, they gave up 6 points, guys. And when your offense keeps putting them in crappy situations, Tommy Townsend hits a 25-yard punt that leads to an immediate field goal. Like, what do you expect our guys to do? You know what I mean? Like,
and Tommy Townsend had a punt more than he usually ever does, which is so sad.
And the elements were just not great yesterday.
Not great at all.
It was rainy. It was windy.
It was gross yesterday.
It was disgusting in Kansas City.
I do want to give a huge shout out to Ladarius Sneed and honestly Jalen Watson, Trent McDuffie. Those guys, I mean, they held Devontae Adams,
Chris Jones,
one of the best wide receivers in the league, to 4 yards and one catch out of 6 attempts.
But is that because the offense didn't have to do anything?
I think it's partially because of it. Honestly.
Because all they had to do was literally run the ball. AOC is a backup quarterback. If I don't have to let my backup throw the ball ever, I'm not. Especially when your offense, not our defense. And I think this is something I was arguing yesterday, right? They were like, the Chiefs' defense needs to be better. I'm like, they were not on the field when the offense gave up 14 points. It was the offense on the field. It was the defense. Right. The defense didn't touch the field, right?
Our offense literally hand-wrapped and gifted them this win, and then they could not figure out how to overcome 14 points scored in 7 seconds.
So just really quickly about the Chiefs' defense, there has only been 4 games this season. Five games this season that they have given up over 20 points. And that is week 5. It was 20 exactly. Week 8, it was 24. Week 11, it was 21. And week 13, 27. And week 14, 20. This week they gave up 8. And last week they gave up 17. You cannot ask more for a defense from that. If your offense cannot score 30 points, hell,
they can't score
28 points would have this team undefeated right now.
Yeah.
A game. Not even 30. 28 points would have this team undefeated right now.
Right.
That also goes back to me with the whole, why does Travis Kelce only have 5 touchdowns? Whole nother conversation. Lexi, give your thoughts on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think they played a fantastic game. They were unstoppable. They did exactly what they needed to do. And ultimately, in the end, like you said, they needed to keep. It's so frustrating, too, because the defense played pretty much a lights-out game. Granted, the run defense looked great against the Patriots last week, but I think that's because they don't have a great run game.
Yeah.
So that's my kind of thoughts there. I expected to see better from them in the run defense this week, especially with Josh Jacobs being out. We should have taken advantage of that, and they didn't.
Jameer
White had like 150 yards on us, which is unacceptable.
And they have a really bad rushing offense, too.
I will say their team just came in with the better game plan. They came in more disciplined. And the announcers
came in with attitude.
Tony Romo and Nance said the entire game, this team is just disciplined. They look disciplined.
Absolutely.
Ready. We did not. And that was on all sides of the ball, but I will say our defense did very well. Mostly in the pass game. Our pass game defense has been phenomenal. Like, it is so good. They'll make a few plays on you here and there.
As expected.
Overall, and that's going to happen in any game, right? But overall,
Jalen Watson, lockdown.
He was so good.
He was a dog.
So good.
He played that one long pass. I don't remember if it was on Adams or Myers. He played it perfectly. Yeah. He was step with him.
Yeah. It was
played
perfect.
The ball perfectly. Oh my God.
It was so good.
Jalen Watson, Ladarius Sneed had great games. Charles Amenie, who had a great game. Derek Naughty had a great game. Actually, I still love seeing Pennell come in and have some runs.
I know. I was like, there's Pennell. There he is.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
He's so excited to be on the field. He is so excited to be there. Like, it just shows. The second he gets out there, he's like making a play. So I put him in the freaking run stop game right now.
Absolutely. Put him right in the middle.
Really, they had good games. It's just that last end part, Jody, I know you want to touch on, but
I do want to talk about that. And it is not to slander the Chiefs defense at all, because they have been lights out all season. And I literally just went through their numbers. They're incredible. But I do want to say, right, offense finally gained momentum. Finally, at the end of the game. 3 minutes, 23 seconds, go down, score, touchdown. Yes. We give the ball back, right? In the end of the game, the defense had been lights out the whole game. In that second quarter, they literally held the Raiders to 1, 2, 3 punts and a field goal, okay? The one time we need you to just keep doing what you've been doing all game. All game. You've been doing it all game. They couldn't get off the field. And the offense finally had momentum. Now, the offense was terrible, right? We punted the ball in the first half 1, 2, 3 times, and then they had a fumble touchdown and a fumble interception and a missed field goal. Like, your offense did not help you at all in this game. But the one time we needed the defense to get off the field like they had been doing for pretty much 40 minutes, they couldn't. And they literally held them all the way. They had those two big runs on us like you just spoke about. And then they didn't even have to kick a field goal to win the game. They could just take a knee and get out of there. I will say that is probably the one thing, and I get it. They are exhausted, just like Pat was. Pat was exhausted from running for 1,000 yards. But if we would have been able to get off the field and get the ball back, we had momentum. We might have been able to go down the field and score, even if that's Patrick running for 50 or 60 yards. So that's my devil's advocate when it comes to the defense. It's hard to talk about them because they've been good for so, so, so long. But dang it, 2 minutes and 42 seconds left in the game, and we could not get off the field. And of course, they were gassed. They were tired. They probably didn't even have the energy to be like, oh, my God, yes.
I could not believe the game ended the way it did, like that.
Well, like, without saying that all season.
We've
been saying that all season, though.
Something about our defense, though, that – you know, if we're looking for things to be picky about, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about how our run defense is not great, right? We're not doing well against the run. That is the number one killer of keeping Patrick Mahomes off the field, right? Milking the clock down, rushing the ball. And if our defense can't stop the run, Patrick stays off the field for longer. Correct. And he doesn't get as many chances to come back and win the game and do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
So I would love to see our run defense improved so that we can get Pat back on the field.
Should we?
Because in the past, when our defense just wasn't good and people were, you know, throwing the ball down the field because they could, you know, at least Patrick got on the field faster and we had more chances to overcome our mistakes. But now that people have realized, hey, we can run on this defense, like that's something that they're not so great at stopping. We can run on them.
Yeah.
It's keeping Patrick off the field, and they are milking the clock and winning the time of possession. And with our offense right now, that's a big problem.
And Spags is taking too long to make that adjustment.
Yeah.
He makes really good adjustments in the game. But when you know that it's the end of the game, you know they're going to run the ball, you know they're up six. They were only up six at that point. Why are we not doing a heavy blitz? Why are we not packing the box and stopping this run defense? Because we know that's exactly what they're going to do. The coach right now, I can't even think of his name. Antonio Carter. I don't know. Whatever. He was the linebackers coach for the Raiders. Yeah. So, of course, he knows exactly what to do to make sure they win this game. So, especially after the way we beat them last time in Oakland. God bless. In Las Vegas. So let's go ahead and talk about the
Bears. There you go.
I'm like, something.
I was like, are you talking about a different coach? Because
no, I just couldn't think of his name because they're irrelevant.
We're tired, you guys. We're tired too.
So let's kind of get into this Bengals game. So it's not like we got an easy game this week.
No, we sure don't.
We've literally been playing backup quarterbacks and we're not winning games, right? So going against another backup quarterback this week, but Jake Browning has been balling. Now, we are not 100% sure if Ja'Marr Chase is playing. He does have that shoulder separation, which is very serious.
Yeah, that's not good.
I feel like he may come back and he may be limited, but it sounds like the injury is not going well for him. And if it's me, I'm saving my best wide receiver until I get my quarterback back next season. But I'm sure they're going to play Ja'Marr Chase this week. So what are your thoughts about us going into this game this week? For some reason, the spread is we're favored by 7.5, and I don't know why, especially based off of yesterday's game. Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous. I have us. I'm not going to get into it yet. But what are your thoughts about going the Bengals coming back to Kansas City?
Here's my thing about this game, right? So the Bengals, I don't know if you guys watched the Bengals play last week. They played not well.
Not good.
They did not look good at all. It was a terrible, terrible performance, right? We also had a terrible, terrible performance. So you have two teams who really don't like each other, who both just played terribly and are both trying to – the Bengals are still trying to get into the playoffs, and we are trying to clinch a playoff spot this fall.
Not lose the three.
Week.
Not right? lose the three, please.
Right. So yeah. that's what – like, both teams have something on the line. Both teams played terribly this past weekend. Here's what we think about Ja'Marr Chase. I know that he really wants to play.
Yeah.
But if you look at the statistics this year, how many number one wide receivers have been Chiefs killers?
None.
Like, how many of them? None. Right?
Yeah.
So do they really – like, I feel like if you throw Chase in there, you may be doing more harm than good, because if Snead is on him, or McDuffie or whomever, Mike Edwards, whoever is following him around everywhere, playing man-to-man, whatever we're doing – we've been holding number one wide receivers down. So I don't think it would make sense for Ja'Marr Chase to play, because he's probably not going to be as big of an impact as he would have been in like years past, because our secondary is so dang good.
Especially with T. Higgins, who has been having a great back half since he's been out. Like, run with that guy. He's been having a good last few games with Chase being out. Go ahead.
Or, you know, run the football. That's how people are beating the Chiefs, is they're running the football, they're milking the clock, and they're causing turnovers, or hoping the Chiefs are stupid and turn the ball over. That's how we're losing, is turnovers.
They do have that new running back to go alongside Mixon this year that's actually doing really well. I'm blanking on his name right now. Forgive me. But they do have that new running back that's doing really well for them. So I do foresee them running the ball a lot on us. However, it's the same thing as last week. Like we said with the Raiders, they hate us. They want to end our season. They want to see us do bad. Zach Taylor and Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator, who plays us really well all the time.
Absolutely.
They are not going to take this game lightly. They're still trying to fight for the playoffs. So it's so frustrating. But once again, it's going to be a fight till the end.
Absolutely.
I just hope the Chiefs find a way to pull this off, because if not, 9-7, do we find a way to make the playoffs? I don't know.
We have to win the next two games. And I mean, we can maybe talk a little playoff.
No, we
right
have
now.
To win this next game to clinch playoff spots. We win the AFC West if we beat the Bengals.
Right. But if we lose this game and then we only win next game and the Raiders win out, there's a possibility they can jump in the one seed.
Yeah. So the Raiders,
not the one seed, but
AFC West.
We're two games ahead right now.
We are lucky that they are 7-8 right now, and we're not. Six, because we can afford maybe one loss, but not really,
because we're split with the Raiders now. We didn't sweep them, so we cannot lose.
Brown, that's who it is. Brown and Browning we have coming in, so
whoever. Last week he only had 16 yards, so there.
Yeah, they
looked terrible last week. They looked like us. They were turning the ball over constantly. Like, somebody was like, what's going on with this game? Like, they weren't watching, and I was like, basically the Bengals fumble the ball, and I forget who they were playing, but then they score. Like, that was the game. The Bengals just kept turning the ball over. And, like, you look – the Steelers. Like, you look at the Chiefs, and you look at our record. How many of those games, if we wouldn't have multiple turnovers, guys, we'd look like a totally different team. I can handle the drops if we can just stop turning the ball over, because we'd be winning all these games.
We're averaging two turnovers a game and 2-3
We're last in the league.
And the Bengals are only one game behind.
We have 38 drops on the season.
Yeah. We're like last in the league in drops. Like, we have the most drops. We have the most turnovers. Like,
it's sick.
Those are killers, guys.
If the Chiefs can finally just figure out a way to limit the drops, limit the turnovers, and I mean limit as in none.
But they're not.
Because I know.
It just seems weird.
I know they're not.
So that's the thing, right? We know that this is not going to happen. What do we do differently?
So as long, but okay. So if we play that same game last, there's no way that we turn the ball over twice within 7 seconds again. Knock on wood, I guess. My bad. Knock on all the wood.
God bless. And plastic.
And everything. But you know what I'm saying? Is like, that's not likely. That does not usually happen. So if we don't do that twice yesterday, we win that game.
Yeah.
Even if we do it once.
I mean, we literally...
If we just did it once, we'd win that game.
Their quarterback did not throw a pass.
I don't want to say the missed field goal hurts, but if we would have made... So now Harrison Butker has missed field goal twice.
Last 2 weeks in a row.
And I'm almost...
Not a good time to not be confident in your kicker.
He missed the week before against New England.
Last week and this week, yeah.
And then he missed this week. So he's missed twice.
Twice, yeah. So not a great time for your kicker to start getting cold. I do want to just – I'm going to just blame weather on both of them. Last week was weather, lots of rain, lots
and
of
it
rain.
Was. Both it was. It was a lot of missed. Wind, a lot of rain.
And then this week, kind of the same thing.
Deflated footballs in New England.
Plus deflated footballs in New England.
Deflated happening, guys.
I want to say, too, like, I think a huge thing for me in winning this game coming up really, really depends on offensive snaps in the counts that they're getting. Like, if we have MVS getting the most snap counts out of any wide receiver, we're not going to win.
We're in trouble.
We need him not – that needs to not be a thing. Please play Richie James more. Play Justin Watson.
Is
Noah Gray.
Noah
Gray had his first drop of the whole entire season.
I know.
And the last thing I can do is ever be mad at him.
I know. I literally, when he dropped that, I was like, oh, no, I was just complimenting you like 2 minutes ago.
He dropped it.
Give Noah Gray the ball. And then he dropped it.
He dropped the ball, and I was like, oh, well. I'll be upset about any receivers this year.
Do you guys think Mecole Hardman will be back this week?
I don't know. They haven't said
anything. There's a chance. But it's a short week, so it's like he has reached the window. So here's my thing.
Maybe they set him out last week because they figured we would need him for the Bengals.
Maybe. But like here,
I don't know.
The thing is like Lexi was saying, like we've got to look at our snap counts. And by we, I mean the coaches in charge of these decisions. Hello. Richie James, guys, he was 3 targets for 3 catches for 54 yards.
Yeah.
He commanded the ball.
I took his yards.
He's been so underutilized.
I took his yards last week. Thank you, Richie James.
Yeah. Guys, he's been so underutilized this season. I know he was injured for a little bit, but get the man the ball. Rashi Rice.
I trust him more than KT.
Feed him more. Give the ball to Justin Watson. I know he drops every once in a while, but guys, he is clutch and he leaves his body on the line. He works hard and he was the only offensive player to speak to the media after the game in the locker room.
Yeah.
He was the one who was stepping up as a leader.
That's
Justin Watson, the guy we've been saying, we've been treating him like a number one wide receiver all season. We're putting him in positions that he should
have a choice.
We don't have a choice. And somebody just asked that. I can't remember what
and
some
Clyde.
Analyst.
And Clyde the ball. Throw Clyde the ball. Treat him as a wide receiver.
Please.
Because we see that he's being better used as a receiver than a run. Well, and I don't even want to say better than because
and
right now they're splitting his snaps 50-50 and he's been great at both. But an analyst said this yesterday, and I can't remember who, so sorry. But they said, you know, at this point, Pat just needs to throw the ball and just.
Just
throw the ball, right? But my thing, I read that and I was like, well, I feel like he's doing that. No,
like well, I don't. He started
like,
running.
I do think that
he was just like, screw it, I'm gonna run it.
Patrick needs to.
For that one time, you should have.
Here's my Pat criticism. Here is my Patrick criticism.
Ooh, let's hear it.
You know that your O-line is not good. You cannot hold on to the ball for 4 or 5 seconds. You have to get the ball out in less than 3 seconds.
We need quick passes.
So I literally said, I don't care what the hell, what route these receivers are running. Just run for your life and don't stop and look for Patrick. At this point, do that. Run towards the end zone. He will get the ball to you. Run. Line up on sides because thank you, MVS, for not lining up on the correct side after we just had this whole debacle.
That was a bad call, though.
It was a bad call. Even a Raiders fan that I was chatting with said it was a bad call. Like,
still,
I know.
We don't.
I know somebody was.
Calls. It was after that call, they did make sure to line up. Like, you could see they
correctly.
Were like,
behind. They were way behind, which was a little. I didn't like that.
But, I know, but that's like we're being targeted. The Chiefs are genuinely being targeted so much by the referees this season. I know. No one wants to hear Chiefs fans complain about the refs. I get it completely. Believe me, I get it.
Well, it's a false narrative that we get.
But I agree. You know how we feel about everything. But
yeah,
We are being targeted. Juwan Taylor has been targeted this entire season for his tiny little
things that we see every right and left.
Every single offensive lineman.
It's annoying.
And then now, ever since Kadarius Toney a few weeks ago gets that call against him,
there's been so many offensive,
unbelievable amount of that being called. We're like, even in other games, it's not even the right call, but they're calling it because
it's like, do you guys make a bonus for calling it now? Like, hey,
honestly,
girl, you called this four times this game. You know what? Here's your job. $200 bonus.
What did they call the OPI on yesterday? Travis?
Travis for a pick when they honestly
does that literally every game.
And honestly, that was really like they were running, he was running his route. And that's the whole point of a pick. You have to be running your route naturally for the pick to actually be legal. It's not like he stopped and picked the guy. He was running and they
cut him off.
So, and I guarantee you,
it is technically a pick, but he did it in the way to where it's supposed to be.
If anything, it should have been a DPI. Because why are you running into me?
Exactly. Right. I guarantee you, if you Austin's played most of these games, you would find that in almost every single game.
Every single
one. But it's just that we are being picked on by the rest, so they have to do everything so perfectly. And I don't know what that is about this year. I don't know if it's because
it's because they keep making that
or what.
I think it's because every single game in the NFL, or let me not say every game, I feel like once a week, and it doesn't matter what game, whether it's our game or someone else's game, the refs always make a very, very bad game-changing call. So they feel like they have to overcompensate the next week, no matter what game it is. And unfortunately, right now, there's nothing but playoff games. We're getting football on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday right now. So a lot of teams are playing in a solo slot window. So they feel like they have to kind of overly compensate to make sure that they're not messing up, which is my tangent on why refs need to be full-time and not part-time. Anyway, because the NFL can afford it. Let's get into the playoffs. It's a hot mess in the AFC.
Oh, my God.
I want to start this off by saying the AFC is way better than the NFC, and the NFC cannot beat AFC teams.
Congratulations, Niners and Cowboys, for losing to the
Losing to AFC teams. You're not that great.
Here we go. Good job.
You won the job.
Welcome to what we deal with every year. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyway, so there's a lot happening right now in the AFC, especially because a lot of teams right now have the same record. So there was something that Adam Schefter put out earlier about different scenarios for teams to make the playoffs. Yeah. And it was like 8 bullet points. And I was like, I'm not reading that. I'm not reading that because there's so many AFC teams who could literally either make it or miss it by one game. So you got five teams
that have a better record than we do.
You got the Steelers, the Bengals, the Jags, the Colts, and the Texans that are all 8-7. We don't know if CJ Stroud is back this week. He's still battling with concussion. 2 weeks now, and he might not be back this week. So if he's not back this week, that's a huge deal for the Texans, who have been playing pretty darn good.
And they played the Titans this week, so.
Titans, is that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you got Raiders at Broncos, which, come on, Broncos, need you to beat the Raiders. You got Jets at Broncos.
Who do we need to win that game?
We need the Broncos to win that game.
Do we?
Because if
the Raiders are above the Broncos,
if we lose, So, and then you got the Jets at the Browns, which is really good, not good, but a good game. But is it not hilarious now that the Browns have contentions for the number one seed? How disgusting is that?
I want to punch someone, is how disgusting it is, and I am not a violent person, so maybe choke on my own spit.
Joe Flacco is completely bawling out.
It came off the couch bawling. Okay, so there are three teams right
what
now.
What year is it?
What year is this? 2018?
There are three teams right now who have.
But thank you, Amari Cooper, for the fantasy points. Appreciate it.
Amari Cooper, dog. Right.
Oh,
there are three teams
God.
Right now. First of all, the Cowboys are dumb because Amari Cooper was that good when he was with them and they let him go. Not going to talk about that.
Yeah, that was weird.
But there are three teams right now who have contentions for the number one seed. Since the Chiefs lost again, they are now out of that conversation. And it's now the Ravens, the Dolphins, and the Browns, which is sick.
Throwing things now.
The Jets, are they going to beat the Browns this week?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Not at all. No. They're not going to win at all. No.
However, the Jets' defense keeps them in games and keeps things interesting.
They do have a great defense.
But didn't they just say that – who's their quarterback? What's his name?
Who even knows?
He's Zach out Wilson? This week.
Zach Wilson?
No, not him.
Or who's the other one?
They got a quarterback. Do they have?
They have a lot. But I think Zach Wilson is out this week. So regardless of what happens, they're playing with the backup.
Yeah.
Against the Browns. So, and I think the game is in Cleveland. So, very fun there.
Have fun with that, Jets.
Yeah. The Lions played the Cowboys this week.
That could be a good game.
That could be a good game. I hope the Lions win.
And it's in Detroit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's
Cowboys do not play well on the road either.
No, they don't. Even if it's in a dome. Don't care. Even if it's in a dome, don't care.
No, it's actually at Cowboys.
I thought it was in Dallas.
Oh, well, they should win. They're undefeated at home. Oh, wait, no. Did they just lose?
At Cowboys.
Did they just lose?
Well, if you think I can read that.
Yeah, you know I'm blind.
I don't have my glasses on.
I have faith in you. No,
I'm like, you know I'm blind. I can't see.
Actually, but that should be a great test for the Lions if they have to go on the road at all during the playoffs. I want to see the Lions do well. I really like the Lions, and I want to see them do well.
I think the Lions can definitely go out and win this game.
Have Cowboys now lost two in a row?
Yep.
Yes.
Bills and then Dolphins, AFC. So like we said,
NFC teams cannot beat AFC teams. We are the pedestal, okay?
Yeah.
That's why everybody hates us.
Correct.
So then we got Dolphins and Ravens, which, God bless.
That's a game.
That is going to be so good.
That is a game. That should be
like the AFC. And I kind of want the Dolphins to win.
I don't.
We kind of.
Ravens, you know what?
I don't know.
I would rather the Ravens win because they're a better team.
Although at this point.
I don't want Dolphins having home playoff advantage. I don't want Tyree getting that. I don't want Tua getting that.
The Chiefs can beat them. I don't know if we can go into the bank and win. I know we can go to Miami and win. That's how I feel.
I don't know. We're a better road team than we are a home team.
Absolutely. We have four home losses this year.
I would say that's why we actually need the Dolphins.
Like, I think I'm pushing for Miami to win. I think we have a better chance of beating the Dolphins than the Ravens.
Okay, so the Dolphins.
We got to beat the Bills potentially first again.
The Dolphins right now maybe are 11 and
what? So, wait, who do the Bills play this week?
Oh, hang on.
You didn't put that on here. Who do the Bills play this week?
They play the Patriots, so they should win that.
Well, I don't know. The Patriots beat them last time. The Patriots seem to do something to the Bills that they don't do to anyone else.
Bill Belichick is going out with a bang. He is trying to mess up their draft.
Oh, I know. I need to get this thought out. So, the Dolphins are 11-4. If they were to lose the next two, which we kind of need, we could actually secure the second seed.
Yeah, but I don't think the Dolphins
win the next two. And that's only because we have the tiebreaker over the Dolphins. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, we want the Ravens to win so we can get
the so if we get the Ravens to win.
Wait, are the Chiefs going to win the next two games?
We should.
Hopefully.
Absolutely, we should.
We should have won yesterday.
Well, I have no idea.
We should have.
We should not have six losses.
We should have won a lot of these six losses.
Let's start there. We should not have six losses this season.
Absolutely not. I'm just going with the theory that we are winning these next two, right? So if we win the next two,
speak it into existence, Lexi.
I mean,
I'm so stressed out.
Dolphins lose the next two. Ravens do whatever. We can have the second seed.
Who do the Dolphins play last?
They play the Ravens and then the Bills.
Boom. Bills are hot right now.
They play the Bills. Doesn't make me happy, tell me they play the Bills in wherever they live at, Buffalo. Please say they're in Buffalo.
In the frozen.
Hang on.
If they're up there and it's snowing.
Unfortunately, no. They play in Miami.
Dang. Okay. Dang.
You know, it's a great time for Dolphins, all those Bills fans to go enjoy some Florida sunshine. You know,
so Dolphins at Ravens.
I don't know why I'm rooting for that. I don't know.
Dolphins at Ravens, Bills at Dolphins.
Dolphins at Ravens. You think they're going to win in the bank? I mean, they might.
I have not.
Not if the weather is bad. What's the weather going to be in Baltimore this weekend?
Well, let me just let.
Look that up, weather girl. What's the weather in Baltimore? Hey, Siri, what's the weather in Baltimore this weekend? Both of my
I can ask are. Alexa. She's right there. Hey, Alexa. Are you plugged in? What's the weather in Baltimore this weekend? Oh, she's talking upstairs. I can't hear her.
Yeah.
Wrong Alexa responded. Sorry, guys.
I'm looking.
There's one right here. Why didn't it listen?
All I'm saying.
Oh, it's actually fine weather. It's like high of 50.
They need a blizzard. All I'm saying is.
No blizzard.
I think the Chiefs have a better chance of beating Miami, because we did, than the Ravens. That's all I'm saying.
Here's my thing about Baltimore, guys. Wait. Did you? Yes, I was getting down. Thank you, Greg. I was having fun with my elementary school bank song. The thing with Baltimore, I don't know if you guys watched the game last night. Lamar Jackson. I just created a new name for him.
Jamar Laxon.
Right.
He was running a lot.
But he does.
But it was because he didn't have someone a lot of the game to throw to. It reminded me a little bit of us. Like, I felt like not as much because, you know, they're winning.
But their receivers can catch.
Yeah, exactly. But he was running from rushers a lot.
Odell did running drop quarterback. A touchdown we know in that. The end zone. Drop a touchdown in the end zone.
Huh? Who did?
Odell dropped a touchdown in the end zone.
Yeah. But I don't know, like the thing with Baltimore that scares me is that they are a good running team. And
they play, can our defense keep up with them? They play Chiefs football, right? They play fast, up-tempo football. And we haven't really seen, the Dolphins didn't do that against us.
No, the thing with the Dolphins, you locked down Tyreek and Waddle. Why am I calling people weird names today? I'm sorry, guys.
Waddle.
Hey. I actually have a customer with that last name. I think that's why. That was throwing me off today.
Probably.
But you lock them down. Like, what does Miami really – what do they have?
They got a good – I mean, likely he's been going off.
He's okay.
They got a good –
But, like, with our secondary, is Miami going to go off like they like to go off?
I mean, but they have 5 picks against the Niners.
Yeah, well, you know, we had 5 picks.
Against the best defense offense in the league.
We play well against good defenses, and we play poorly against bad defenses.
I said on Friday, in our Red Friday space, I said, I think the Niners are going to win this game. However, I would not be surprised if the Ravens did to them what the Chiefs did to them in 2022. Yeah. They were this high-powered offense, best defense in the league, and the Chiefs put 44 on them. So I was like, I would not be surprised if the Ravens went in and kind of did something similar, and they absolutely did. And I was really just talking out of the side of my mouth, and I hate when I'm proved correctly. But that just proves that the AFC is better than the NFC.
And anyway. I want to say, this person asked if, like right now, if the Chiefs had the second seed, who would we play? Most likely would be the Colts.
Whoever the 7th seed is, yeah, the Colts, yeah.
Right. Which right now it's the Colts. If we, like, if it ended today, we would play the Bills in the wild card round.
So
in Kansas City.
Here's what's annoying. So if the Bills win out and the Dolphins lose one, then the Bills go to the 2 seat. And then the Dolphins go to the 7? The 6.
That's how crazy the AFC is. It's like one loss and you drop 5 spots.
Well, that's the crazy thing too is
if that's the case, right? So going
I'd rather go to Miami than to Buffalo.
I'd rather go to Miami than to go to
Buffalo,
wherever the Bills play. Buffalo. I've done that twice now. Why don't I know where they are?
I can't pronounce names, so we're fine.
I'm like, what city are you in?
I'd rather go to Miami than to Buffalo.
I
know. Honestly.
I would rather go to Miami than Buffalo.
I don't want to play in Buffalo. Their fans, like, you gotta give their fans credit. They're
it's like going to Arrowhead.
Yeah. You don't want to play against their fans.
No.
So, yeah. Props to Bill's Mafia. You guys are great. Yeah, I don't want to go to Buffalo.
And they travel. They travel very well.
They do a good job.
Honestly, I think the Ravens Stadium I wouldn't want to go to. It'd be Miami.
I don't want to go to. When's the last time we played the Ravens?
But we have to actually get there first, guys.
The last time we played the Ravens was like 2 or 3 years ago, and we lost.
Exactly.
If it, this person said, what do Chiefs do if we go home in the wild card? We go home and we retool for
I season. Get to have peace.
Less stress for our hearts, you know?
And I the don't Chiefs have to get stress
some
out.
Much needed rest. They get they some much get needed to rest.
Go, they get to take 2 days off. Brett Veach doesn't get a single day off.
Good. He doesn't deserve work. It. Oh, that was mean. I didn't mean it like that.
No.
After what he put Patrick through this year, he does not deserve.
My agenda. Here's my agenda for the offseason, and we can get into that once we go to the Super Bowl and win. Because that's what's going to happen.
I'm just going to keep knocking on
that. Honestly, y'all. Okay. I have two visions as I cover my eyes. My first one is, I think if we win in wild card weekend, we'll win the AFC championship game. I don't know why.
Okay.
Right?
I like it.
Like, I really do. Like, I think, I know, like, because I feel like I got to hide to say.
I know. You got to hide.
I feel like if we win the wild card weekend, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Because I think the 18 weeks before that, they're going to be like, all right, y'all, that was BS. It's time to really get it. Like,
Playoff mode.
I think Patrick wakes up. Right. I think Travis wakes up. I think everybody who was on this team last year wakes up. And I think that they can go run the table. And then we can be like, oh, my God. Do y'all remember when we were 9-6?
Say it, Lexi. Say it.
Grim Reaper mode. Grim Reaper.
When it gets grim, be the Grim Reaper. And it's about as grim as it's going to get, ladies.
I honestly think if we can win the first playoff game, we're good. Like, for real. Like, and I've been pretty accurate on wins and losses this year. So that's my first take.
Listen.
My second take is Brett.
I'm wearing this so we can channel.
I know. I feel like I need to wear a Super Bowl shirt every day just to.
Chiefs I got to give Jenna. Jenna said the Chiefs have the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. Win the Super Bowl and everyone will die.
I will like. Can you imagine? Like last year I was already like, oh, I don't want to say the T word.
So funny.
I don't want to say the T word, but last year when we won the Super Bowl, I was like unbearable. God forbid the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl this year. Oh my God. What? Yeah. Have you seen this thing?
Yeah.
The receivers are us. What? Anyway.
Hey, and the 2015 Broncos can do it. So can we.
Absolutely.
I said what I said.
Facts.
In the offseason, I want Brett Veach to give up the one and go get Jettis. That's what I want.
Go.
Please, free Jettis.
Give him everything. I don't even care.
Because literally with the number one pick, we're going to go get a receiver. Just give it to the Vikings and give us Justin Jefferson. Give them a one, a four, and a six for all I care. Everything.
I don't care. We only have four picks. Give them all. I don't care. I'm done.
If we get Justin Jefferson on this team.
Save me 3 days of watching the draft. Great.
Oh, that too. Please. Just give them the one and whatever they want. Give them CEH, the one.
Oh.
Who's the backup quarterback? Give them him.
Yeah, we don't really like him.
Like, hell, give them FAU. Like, give the Vikings whatever for Justin.
Give them FAU.
Like, seriously. Like,
scratch
seriously.
That. Yeah, just, yeah.
He can literally – they can
the pick. It's fine.
I struggle watching these wide receivers just be wasted, like, on teams like that. Like, Jettis deserves better. Stephon Diggs also deserves better while we're at it. But,
right.
You know, like, it's just like, they deserve better.
What give about
them a team. Give a quarterback who will respect and utilize them, gosh darn it.
God bless. Please go get Justin Jefferson. No, like,
there's so many I could. Oh man,
here's we'll get into that wide receivers. This is how I envision our wide receiver room next year, right? We're gonna run with obviously Rashee Rice,
yeah,
Richie James. I think Justin Ross will still be trying to figure out a part here. We're Justin gonna go Ross, get a veteran somewhere, and then we're gonna draft somebody.
You think Justin Ross is gonna be on this team?
I said maybe.
Oh, yeah, I think
he
could
be
like another outlier this year.
I
but
think
we're gonna run with Richie James, we're gonna run with Rashee Rice. We're going to run with
I think that's
some veteran we pick up and some guy that we draft. And honestly, I'd be okay with Justin Watson coming back. A lot of people hate on him. But guys,
I know, yeah.
Without Jay Justin Watson, sure this team back. Has like half the wins.
I'm totally fine.
You should have said Rashi Rice, Justin Watson. That should have been the order you named.
Well, I wasn't going like number one to number five. I was just listing people because my brain is tired.
I'm fine with those three dudes. And then go get freaking four tight ends. I mean, keep Travis, of course. Keep Noah, of course.
Get rid of Blake Bell. Can I say
something real quick? People that are saying trade Travis, have y'all lost your mind?
Nobody's just gotta ignore them. Travis at his age, guys. Calm down.
Come on.
They don't even know where it's not happening, right?
Like, go watch.
You would be insane to get rid of Travis Kelce.
Go watch the Ice Capades, okay?
I don't care how down of a season Travis Kelce is having. He is the best tight end in the NFL.
Ever. Ever. Ever, in my opinion.
NFL.
Disrespect and throw it off a cliff.
That's like saying
football
right now, trade him. No, like
even though we would like them to trade him, but still.
Even though my agenda is give the one for Jettis.
I mean, that I'm totally fine.
I mean, but they got Jordan Addison. Like, what? Y'all are good.
They are fine.
And they're not, you can take Justin Jefferson.
Let's give them a one. They can go get a quarterback.
You can go pay some people.
And like, no, right? I don't think Kelce is not going to retire either. So
no, he's definitely not retired.
No.
Because if anything, he wants redemption from this year. He's definitely not going out like that.
Man, this person in the comments is drunk. Did you see that?
Totally fine. You just got to learn to ignore the comments. Some of y'all we paying attention to. Some of y'all we are not. But we definitely need to make sure we go get have four tight ends next year. We cannot ever have another season with three tight ends ever.
And Blake Bell better not be a part of it. Thank you very much.
He better not. No.
God, he makes me so angry every game. Every single game.
And I personally, actually, I know people want Case.
Last game. He was okay.
No, he wasn't. No. The whole
he was offense not. Was bad. Stop the positivity, Lexi.
I'm like, no, stop it.
Alexandra, you cut it out.
Oh,
immediately.
My full name.
Birth certificate name.
Woo. I don't even think I've told my full name.
That's how serious I am. Wow. Christina Caitlin does not like him.
Yeah, no.
Alexandra Osborne, how dare you?
But no.
Lord, all right.
He cannot run block, Chris. He's terrible at everything. Stop it. He is not the bulldozer of all.
I don't want to ever see him on this team ever again after
he's
this.
He's a child's cat and thingy.
I know that people love KT. I don't want to see him on this team either next year. No, he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I'm good.
Honestly, give me Richie James over him.
Belldozer hasn't done Belldozer sneak in forever, guys. He's a child boy.
And we don't even know what Miko can be.
Yeah, how many times did that fail?
It failed like three times.
It's so bad.
Can y'all stop arguing with people in the comments?
No.
They are arguing with people in the comments. It's crazy.
And we're talking about Belldozer. Stop it.
We don't even know what Miko Harman can be because the only time we've seen him has been on special teams and then he got hurt and we ain't seen him in 5 weeks. So he ain't got to come back either. And I love Miko Harman.
I know.
But we got to burn it all down and start over.
We do.
Burn it all down. Retool, refreaking build.
We all know it. We just have to know it.
We
have to hope the Brett Veach.
No. I don't want to see Miko Harman or Justin Ross next year.
Yeah.
Sapphire. They both can get off of this team. We better not go into next season with seven receivers. That experiment failed. Get five, keep it moving. Five
it's
is enough.
What happened, and that we all thought that was going to be like, oh, this is so fun. We have all these weapons. No,
we clearly need to have extra people on the defense. No. They're the ones who we've been rotating like flies all season long. Yeah. So let's get out of here. We've been on the show.
We are like almost an hour and a half.
A very long time, and we are not one of those podcasts that do 2 hour shows. And we love
you know
y'all.
What we needed to air some things after this.
Clearly,
yesterday seems so long ago.
God bless. What are we supposed to do? Oh, we probably should do the sponsor. Go ahead, Lexi.
Kin Seltzer.
Woo. I just want to say, I've been sipping on this drink this entire podcast, and I have to say,
are you feeling
this good? This has to be one of the best drinks I have ever made with our Kin Seltzer. So just a quick little plug here. Jody, you show your can of Kin.
My filter is not.
Oh, wait, there it is. Oh,
kind of. Oh, wait, wrong way.
Ooh, could you imagine if it had that Chiefs wrap on it? Man, that's cool.
It's so funny, though, because there's a new can. So just know that Kin Seltzer did a rebrand. There's a new can, and there is a new drink getting ready to launch when we hopefully make it to the darn playoffs. God bless.
So real quick, so Kin Seltzer is the first Kansas City created Black-owned seltzer business and in America as well. Period. So it's made right here in Kansas City, though. And I just made this delicious Christmassy, fantastic holiday.
New Year's Eve.
Tell them what's in it.
So I put, it's a little bit of pomegranate juice, a little bit of cranberry juice, a lot of bit of Kin seltzer, and a little bit of vodka I added to it, and then some pomegranate seeds and a sprig of rosemary. And when I tell you this tastes like Christmas in a cup, it is so good. I like this has to be maybe, and I'm not even just saying this because they sponsor us. Like, this is probably the best cocktail I've created. So
it makes me want to try it, and I'm not a drinker. Yeah, so
you should. You got, it's so light and clean and airy. Oh, like, you'll like it for that reason.
And Christy, so Kin seltzer is pineapple.
You know, I'm just so light and airy and clean.
With all this, yeah.
Right. Lexi, I do want to say that I had a Christmas drink the other day at one of the Christmas bars, and it had pomegranate seeds in it, and I swallowed it and almost died.
Oh, no.
They tried to attack me. And so
you not eat pomegranate seeds ever?
No. So
they're so good.
Yeah, no. Like, the way that I was like, oh, I can't, like, I need water. Waitress, can I have water? Because I was dying. So I was all on board. So when you make mine, take the pomegranate seeds out, please, because clearly I'm not responsible enough.
Now, you can have the pomegranate juice, which gives it the same effect.
Okay, no. I love that for me.
I'm going to make this for both of y'all sometime. And
I'm terrified of pomegranate seeds, so there's that.
I understand.
Just take, to eat them separately, and they're clearly really delicious. I love getting, like, the palm, like, containers of,
that's so what good. I have. Yeah, that's exactly what I got.
Delicious.
The little, yeah.
So delicious.
Good. Well, I almost died.
Anyway, delicious.
Well, don't die, Jody. We like you too much for that. So
it was terrifying.
Well, all right. We'll start wrapping up because we have been at this an hour and a half, and I'm sure other people, I know, like, you don't want us to cut off because we're so cool, but we probably should. I gotta get my kids to bed. I got work. So but guys, like, I know it's tough right now, which seems really spoiled coming from a team that is, what, 9-6, 9-5, whatever we are.
Patrick Mahomes never has 6 losses in his career.
9-6. But it's just like,
yeah.
I know it's hard. Just try to keep chugging away. We know the problems. They haven't gotten better. So just don't let it ruin your week. We got some days off before we have to go play the Bengals. You can get the hatred towards the Bengals going again. You know, maybe that's what we need.
Week too.
We just need that Bengals hatred again. You know, it's great.
There you go.
It's hilarious. We didn't even do a score prediction, but maybe that's for the best.
I don't want to do a score prediction because I cannot tell you what is going to happen.
Over that,
but maybe it's for the way that I'm not. Look, Lexi, I haven't done a score prediction in like 5 weeks.
Well, maybe it's me and Lexi's fault, you know? Like,
yeah,
right. Know.
So we're just, yeah, no more.
Make sure you like and subscribe and follow us on Instagram, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find us, on YouTube, everywhere. And we love when you guys join the podcast and make comments. It's really fun when we get to interact with you guys during the show. So keep at it. We love,
yeah, like 80 viewers tonight. Today. That was crazy. Like,
this was shout a great interactive podcast.
StreamYard this week just added the effect that now we can see the comments from X Twitter now.
Yeah.
This week, which
I know that was really cool.
If
y'all are watching from Twitter/X, please interact with us. We love to.
Yes.
Yeah. Please do. We really enjoy the interaction. It makes it fun. And it's just fun interacting with everyone who watches. So, but I will not be on next week, but these ladies will do awesome. Hold them down. I'll try to send something in to say hi. I will be at Disney World. So.
But happy new year!
Prepping for the Super Bowl parade. You know, that's what I'm doing. Just
can y'all believe this is the last episode of 2023?
Yeah, this is. Oh,
oh God.
Crazy.
That's weird.
We'll see y'all next year. We'll see y'all
next year. We will see you next year. Have a good weekend, because, yeah. Be safe. Be smart. Go pick up some Kin seltzer. Enjoy your New Year's with that awesome stuff. But above all else, please be safe this weekend. Do not drink and drive. Don't be stupid. Don't ruin someone else's night with your poor decisions.
Call an Uber.
Call an Uber. Have a DD. Friends. Do something. Yeah. Do not drink and drive and ruin someone else's life or night because you made a stupid decision. So have a great weekend. Enjoy your fun. this weekend. And please, 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 Chiefs, you ruined Christmas, so don't screw up the new year too.
Happy New Year!
Until next time, your queens have spoken.
What's the New Year song? What do they sing?
I don't know. I'm just thinking of the graduation song. So
I'm thinking we are the champions. So if that tells you,
we are the champions.
I'm like, I don't know the New Year song.
And we'll keep on fighting.
I'm both singing two different songs. Somebody end the stream. Bye, y'all.
It's karaoke night, baby.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.